Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm reaching into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Yeah, let me put that down here. All right, we've got it. We've got it. And now let's get into what we are here to talk about today. As I retrieved from the vault this resource that I believe will help you tremendously in your leadership role. And that is talk about the three reasons leaders who lead from their heart wins the allegiance of their followers, and how you can too. It's amazing that we have to even have this conversation about leaders leading from their heart. It would have been something that we would have no need to talk about if it was instilled in leaders that one of the best ways to motivate people, to get them to show up and give their best work at all levels, is to lead from your heart. I think the notion has been that we ought to become leaders. And I think it has been put in place, unfortunately, by those who were, you know, let's put it this way. Our history shows that leaders were pretty much dictatorial in their approach, right? They would actually demand what it is they want their followers to do. They would actually use threats and intimidation and all of those things that they knew worked, because people had basically not many other options, right? Especially when they didn't know better. They are not as educated. And going back to those times, I believe leadership has kind of taken its, its marching orders from a pretty historic and I would say almost archaic kind of leadership, that narrative that has been put in place. Unfortunately, that did not begin from the originator of leadership, because, you know, I believe that God originates leadership, and that is not what he intended or even wanted. He doesn't lead that way. And I know that for a fact, because when I look at how he leads his people and throughout the Bible and the historical records, that's not the way that he led, right? He led through love from a heart position. And look at what I believe that we find that, and again, I don't want to become sound like I'm being religious here on you, right? But I'm using something that I can make reference to, because I know it. And I look at the life of Jesus, who really said, if you want to know how God leads, look at me. Now, I know this may not fit into some people's faith framework, and I understand it, and I'm not here into trying to offend you if that's not your frame of reference, but I just want to make a point, and I'm sure you would, if you had a chance to make the same point from your frame of reference, you could cite others who you possibly follow based upon your faith that probably led this way. I don't know as much about many other faiths. I do know some, but not as much to, you know, give my expert opinion on, right? But what I can say is that when I look at Jesus, who I really aspire to be like when it comes to a leader, how he led. And so I saw what the impact he had, or read of, and we have history to back that up, the impact he had, the influence he had, how he motivated people, how he got the best from people who would even give their lives for him. I mean, that must be some kind of leadership, isn't it? There's no question about it, because there is, the evidence is right there. We can't argue against reality, can we? And so what I find is somehow we got off track in our leadership narrative, that what's been passed down from generations. And I know that has come out of, part of it has come out of how the system was set up. And again, I don't want to get into this whole historical thing, because I'm not even the expert there. So, you know, I speak about things that I know. However, I can say that when we look back to the slave trade approach, and even today, that mentality is still there, where some people are looked down on and are treated with less than kind of approach, right? And not seen as a human being to be treated with dignity. And I think the kind of leadership we see today in some setting has come from that, where it is a forceful one. It is a power one. It's one that, you know, we look around in some countries today, we see some leaders who will still lead that way. And they lead by intimidation. They lead by just how they would treat those who don't fall in line, to set an example. When we see that, that kind of leadership, when people have a chance and really are fed up and tired, we see what happened. You look around our nation, our world today, we see uprising here and there. Why? Because people, really deep in our hearts, we don't want to be led that way. Who wants to be led forcefully and be told what to do, when, how, and where? Now, there are some aspects of that in every kind of leadership context, right? We cannot get away from that, because a leader is somehow helping people to realize, I believe this is the best path kind of approach, right? They have looked at all the data and have decided that, you know, I call myself a Sherpa, right? You may have heard that in the introduction, because I believe that what I do is see what works. And having gone a few steps ahead of someone else, I'm showing you, hey, this is where you want to step because it's safer. That's the kind of leadership that I approach when I do leadership, right? But what happened is, when we have this ongoing narrative where people kind of pick up on without even being taught, it's almost like it's through osmosis, right? It just kind of, you know, this is how you lead. And sometimes people who are in leadership today have no idea and actually should not be in leadership. They have a type of understanding based upon how they've seen it, how they've heard it, how they've been led, experienced it. And so when they become a leader, that's how they want to lead. But I find that that kind of approach really doesn't work as much. I mean, is it any wonder? I mean, there are statistics and numbers to prove what I'm saying. Because when Gallup did its poll and their poll, they find that 87% thereabouts of people who are just showing up to work, right? Majority of that, almost 67% or thereabouts, really are just disengaged with work. And another 13-14% are actively disengaged in their work. So we do know that people in general, majority of people today, are kind of, it's almost revolting and pushing back and resisting the kind of leadership that they're experiencing. What other reason would they do that? I don't believe people are bad and just want to sabotage and do evil things. I don't believe that there's a reason. People do things because of a reason that serves them. It serves a purpose. What they do serves a purpose. Unfortunately, we don't get to find out those purpose in some instances until it's too late. And then we can't find out, right? And I'm speaking about times of suicide or other kind of, you know, horrific endings of some relationships settings, right? So what I'm sharing here is that leaders who then have really looked at what has not worked, why keep on doing something that does not work as effectively and efficiently as it could? You know, I posted in my social media, if you're following me, which I hope you are, especially on LinkedIn. If you are on LinkedIn, would you reach out and just request to join my network and just leave me a note that said, hey, I listened to you on your podcast, The Kings of Grand Show, and I truly want to reach out to you and join you here on LinkedIn. You can also, of course, reach out to me on other platforms as well. But I posted something on my social media platform recently. I talk about the fact that, you know, emotelligence is a new intelligence. You know, I captioned it like, you know, a shift, 21st century leadership shift. Because I believe that we must shift in leadership if we're going to get more or get better results than we're getting right now. And what we're getting is basically many times it's more because of intelligence. You know, I talk about and I make the contention that intelligence is what gets you in the door or gets you promoted, right? Gets you that title. Intelligence, for the most part, does. But what happened is that people who get in the door and get to those positions and those roles, they are still trying to govern or lead with intelligence. And I'm thinking that, you know, insanity is doing the same things over and over and expect to get different results, right? So I say, well, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something else. And so, of course, you know, I wrote a book called The Emotelligent Leader: Succeed Where Others Failed and Become the Leader Everyone Loves and Wants to Follow. And I argue for the fact that leadership must look differently. Leadership must look differently. And it's amazing, I'm seeing more and more of the leaders who I look up to and or I admire or I follow, and I'm seeing they're making that argument more and more nowadays about the idea of heart leadership or emotional intelligence leadership, which I advocate for. I write about that in my book. I look at leadership through the lens of emotional intelligence and captured that inside my book. So you can, if you have not yet gotten that book, you can find it on Amazon, of course, at just look for the word emotelligent, E-M-O-T-E-L-L-I-G-E-N-T. If you type that word in or type in The Emotelligent Leader, you will find it. It will be there. And so I just hopefully you get a chance to read that. But when I put the image on my platforms that emotelligence is a new intelligence, I'm not in any way dismissing intelligence because it's a part of what makes us who we are and successful, right? So I'm not diminishing or making that less than. My argument is that it's not an end-all, be-all. Because it's obvious. It's obvious. Look around us. It's not getting us the results we want to get. Something is missing. And I argue that what's missing is the emotelligence component. And you say, Kingsley, what's that? Well, it's a concept that's based upon emotional skills, right? So it's the idea of being able to recognize, understand, and manage your emotions and the emotions of those around you and be more skilled in decision making, relationship management, and job performance. That is what emotional intelligence does. And it allows you to be that way 24/7. That's what it leads to. A 24/7 behavior where you're thinking, man, you know, am I being emotional intelligent here? So it's really, it's a descriptive word, but also an adverb, right? It's an active way of looking at the word emotional intelligence. And that's, you know, I don't want to spend all the time talking about that because I really, you came to hear the three reasons, but I wanted to set that up and let you know that these three reasons I'm giving you, without this context, this backdrop, it's not going to make sense. It's not really going to stand out as it ought to. So it may make sense, but it won't have the oomph, that punch, if you don't have this backdrop that I've just painted. It's important that you get this. So the question then is, Kingsley, what are the three reasons leaders who lead from their heart wins allegiance of their followers, and how I as a leader can do that too? How is it that that leads to higher productivity? It leads to higher revenues. It leads to higher retention of your best talents, and on it goes. Well, let me give you the three reasons. And the first reason that I have here, right, and this is not in any particular order, but I place them in this order because I believe that it works better if we have it in this order. So number one is those leaders who lead from their heart are relatable. Relatable. Well, so Kingsley, that is, you know, something that people are aspiring to do, yes. But I believe it's, if it's not intentionally done from the heart, it's hard to accomplish. People relate with those that have something in similar, something similar, right? I can relate to you better if you are, if you understand my context. If I give you a chance and you give me a chance to know your context, which is similar to mine, I'm more relatable, am I not? Isn't that so? You know, I'm Jamaican. So obviously, if someone have a Jamaican context, even though I'm so far removed as far as years away from Jamaica and its culture, you know, things are a whole lot different now, 40 years later. You know, you can imagine. So, however, there's some things that are still true. And I find that I can relate better to the context. Someone who is a Christian, I can relate better to their context. Someone who is a Christian leader, even more so, I can relate better to that context. Someone who is a nonprofit leader, I can relate to that context. Someone who is a corporate leader, I can relate to that context better. Someone who is a husband and a father. You get my drift? You see what I'm going with that? So leaders who lead from the heart are those who are more relatable because they are thinking of others. They are more empathetic in their approach. They are more highly sensitive to others' struggles. And if they can share their own struggles and become more vulnerable, which I speak about in my book about how to really demonstrate vulnerability, then they're able to become more relatable. And when your followers or your people can relate to you because you've given them context to relate to you, man, they'll follow you to the end of the earth. You know, again, I go back to Jesus. He gave his disciples and others the context that made him relatable of all he went through, his struggles from a single mother's home. You know, he grew up with a stepfather. That's a context that people can relate to. He had siblings who didn't, I mean, step-siblings who didn't understand who he was. Imagine sharing all of those contexts and being vulnerable as a leader. Don't you think people are going to want to be more endearing towards you? Don't you think they're more drawn to that? So if you can become a leader who is more vulnerable and share your context and your struggles, not to put everything on the line, don't get me wrong, obviously, right? There's always a limit and a measure. Everything has to be done with moderation. But that is one first thing I mentioned, be more relatable. Secondly, reliable. Well, Kingsley, what do you mean by reliable? Well, can your followers count on you? Can they count on you? Are you that source that they can depend on? Can they trust you? Do you have their backs? Or do they know that? Do you recognize and acknowledge their accomplishment? Do you know them so that you can relate with where they're at? See, reliable leaders are those that have made themselves trustworthy leaders. You know, in my book, I speak about get to know, like, and trust that leader. You know, you want to make sure you sell yourself in a way where people know, like, and trust you, as we do in business. But they need to be able to count on you. They need to know that they don't have to come and show up and spend most of their day and their time trying to walk on eggshells where, you know, things are like, we just don't know how you may react to certain things. It's that tension. It's that anxiety-created environment that people really find themselves in. And so if you're not a reliable person, that's how they're going to approach following you. However, if you show yourself reliable, do what you say and say what you mean and mean what you say, right? Consistency. Now, it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you won't, you know, sometimes have to take your word back, but they know they can rely upon you to be honest and to make it known that way and ask for forgiveness if you need to. Can they rely upon you to make wrong right? Can they rely upon you in that area? So number two is reliable. And number three is remarkable. Man, leaders who are remarkable are the ones who have done what I've just said, being reliable and relatable. That makes you remarkable. But even go beyond that, it's when you can do things that are just unexpected. It's when that you can show your people, your followers, that the only thing that separates you from where they are is possibly your position, your title, your role, and maybe your income. But what happened is they know that, they get it, they understand that. But what makes you remarkable is when they hear you speak on their behalf, when they see you go to bat for them, when they see you putting them and putting people first, when they see you being a good dad to your children or a good mom to your children, when they see you being a good husband and a good wife, when they see you being, you know, all, you see where I'm going with that? You're remarkable in those ways. You're just doing things that other leaders are not doing. You're finding out what are the nuances, what are the things that I could do that really set us as a team apart. Remarkable leaders, right? It's things that you are, if you look at the word remarkable, right? It's made up of a very essential word, right? You probably have identified that. It's the word M-A-R-K, the mark. What mark are you placing up on your people that really, you know, identify them, give them an identity, a remarkable environment you've created for them, a safe environment you've created for them, not putting up with disrespect and dishonor of anybody, whether from you or from them, you know, it's an environment, a remarkable environment. You are intentional. You create that. That is what sets you up as remarkable. Man, don't you think if you can practice these three R's of being relatable, reliable, and remarkable, don't you think that would get you the heart of your people? Don't you think that their allegiance will be with and for you? Don't you think they will give you their best selves and show up and give you their best work, which leads to higher productivity, and which leads to higher revenue? The numbers are there. I'm sure if you listen to many of my podcast episodes, you have by now can agree that this is science. The science is there to support what it is I'm saying. It's not a feel-good kind of touchy-feely thing here. No, it's more than that. It's reality. It's people we're dealing with, human beings who are beyond just what they do, because they have feelings. They're sensitive. They are made in the image of God. You know, I can go on and on. So people will rise to the occasion when you become the leader that is relatable, reliable, and remarkable. So today I wonder, what are you going to do to make you that way? What's the one thing you're going to do today that would set you apart? What are you going to work on? I would love to hear what it is you're going to work on. I would love to hear what it is that you have done or is doing that is kind of making you the leader that have gained the allegiance of your people. Did I miss something? Did I overstate something? I would love to hear from you. So would you please let me know, follow me, and when I do my postings, whether on, you know, my social media platforms, comment, give me a feedback of your thoughts and what you've heard. And I would love to also ask you, one very important thing for me to do is ask you to leave me a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, right? Leave me a rating and review there about the show that I would love to see, again, where people can find the show. The more the ratings and review I get, the better position the show becomes to be found by those who are looking for something like this. So I really and truly are partnering with you and teaming with you, and I hope you hear my heart and hope my heart will move you to action. So thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this episode today. I truly appreciate that. And I want to say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, a big thank you. You're making this show as successful as it has become and will even continue to become, because without you, there's no show. You know, I can keep on doing my part, but then what? The show will just be like me having a conversation with myself. I could just tape that and listen to it as often as I want to, right? Why put it out there if I did not want someone like yourself to listen and to gain value from that? Because remember this, you're one step away from your best hope. One step. Actually, let me say it another way, a better way. You are one skill, that's the word I use, one skill away from your best hope, from being that leader everyone loves and wants to follow, from being that leader who succeeds where others failed. One skill. And each day, my job, my goal is to teach that one skill, are part of that one skill that gets you closer to your goal. So, my friend, I want to say thank you. And let's put this resource, this show, back into the recesses of the vault and lock it away. So would you help me do that? Here we go. There it is. Now it's put away. Now I can safely exit the command center of the Immotelligent Leadership Institute, and I look forward to seeing you just in a few. So, as I've often said, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.